how to own a piece of the $760 billion franchise pie, and how to spot the next crumble cookies long before they become famous. Welcome back, Contrarians, to another weekly newsletter. First things first, wishing you a happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. We are beyond thankful to each and every one of you who are on this journey with us. We see you. Now, spoiler alert, okay, not really, but it's franchising month in Contrarian Cashflow. From how to enter profitable franchises as passive owners, to how to raise capital and crunch ideal investment to profit ratios, to tough questions on, is it worth it? We're holding live AMAs with franchising experts who've made eight figures in the industry. If you want in, join Contrarian Cashflow. But first, a Contrarian rant. My most recent purpose, become unfuckwithable. So strong of mind, body, and balance sheet that when the inevitable power exertions come, you can kindly push lay fuck back. The world is increasingly necessitating this attitude, so let me tell you a little story. I was in transit with an airline this week, and surprise, surprise, the service reminded me of being a middle school kid who had gone to the bathroom. Please, teacher, will you allow me to relieve my bowels and leave your vaulted presence if only for a moment? No? May I speak? No? May you explain to me why X or Y or Z? No? Okay, I'll just sit here in misery. Odd when you think about it. Rules are great. Power trips and rules that lack all common sense? Not so great. So, I've decided I'm done with that. How done? Well, to be honest, I'm kind of cheap with flying. I always fly coach unless it's international. I've got a thing for Southwest cattle drives. I bring my own snacks. I have that my parents were immigrants type of energy. I'll buy a multi-million dollar business, but an upgraded ticket for a two-hour flight for $1,000? Meh, probably not. However, I have now decided to leapfrog the whole first class, lay flat or die, private planes or I'm not going, and jump right to buying a whole motherfucking fleet. It's a big, hairy, ridiculous goal, but if you're building the next airline company that charges more but actually loves its customers, hit me up. You might have an investor. Since when did companies design to serve us? We pay them. They are in the service industry. They and the government need to remember that term. But complaining gets us nowhere around here, and if we don't like something, we build it better. Then we take their lunch. Wink, wink. So what are you doing to become unfuckwithable? And what is your goal so audacious? If you don't hit it, you'll still be a titan? Well, mine? Toppling dictators and not owning the plane, but taking down the whole damn fleet. Now, meet franchisees who's turned other ideas into money. Most 20-somethings in my day were all about two things, sneaking out and making bad decisions. Did I say most 20-somethings or did I mean me? Anywho, the subject of this week's newsletter was clearly built differently. At 24, Eric Van Horn bought his first franchise and grew it over 40 locations over the next 10 years and millions of dollars in profit. In the next 10 years, he bought 6 more franchises, sold even more brands as a franchisor, then hit the $100 million in franchise fees as a franchising consultant. He's obviously an underachiever. Now, y'all know I've had quite the opinion about franchises, but when Eric explained the model to me, I got a little intrigued. We spoke with Eric for our cash flow group this month and asked him to break down the secrets to cash flowing 5 to 6 figures as a franchisee. So, here's an inside scoop on a man who takes others' idea and turns them into dollars. So what is franchising? Someone else has an idea. People love it. They wrap processes around it so it's repeatable and branded, and you pay for the right to take their ideas and profit off it. So like In-N-Out Burger, Massage Envy, Orange Theory, Crumble Cookie, Starbucks, etc., etc. I do like the idea of de-risking your investment and accelerating your cash flow. As someone who started a few businesses, I'll tell you this. Building a business from the ground up is backbreaking work. You wear all the hats, plus you can almost always expect something to go sideways. On the flip side, buying a business can be a profit hack. When you buy an existing business, you aren't just taking over their brick-and-mortar storefront, you're also buying their systems, suppliers, customers, and dozens of other economic factors that could have taken you exponentially more time and effort to get on your own. It's why my mantra has often been, buy over build. Franchisees are a version of that, but franchising gets a bad rap, mostly from me. You hear a lot of people, aka me, saying things like, but it's not even your brand. Why help someone else build their company when you can just go out and start your own? Or you're basically buying yourself a job. But is that the truth? Let's look at the numbers because they lie a little bit less. So what's it going to make me? You've heard Eric's model. So how about we break down another cash flow member, Henry. He bought a Massage Envy franchise while working. It cost him a few hundred thousand and he hired an operator. They broke even inside a year, were profitable the following month, and now have businesses that generate $2 million plus a year, which allowed him to quit his golden handcuff job. No guarantees in life, but hey, that doesn't suck. It prompted me to dig in, and I may be investing in a franchise next year. Why? Here's a breakdown of the average franchise costs and profits. Spoiler alert, it's not too shabby. So what's it going to cost me? In a common scenario, franchise costs are something like this. $25K to $100K for the franchise fee, 5 to 15% royalty or profit share fee, $60K to $1 million for startup cost, total cost $100K to $1 million plus to start. Then we break down some franchise examples of what the average EBITDA per location can be in a year. And here's another argument for franchising. Training. According to the 2020 Industry Training Report, it costs small employees, small companies, an average of $1,111 every year to train a new employee. That doesn't include the $4,000 it costs to orient a new employee. For a non-franchise business with one location and six employees, training costs can easily climb to $30K annually. Make sure the franchise group you're looking to partake in has a training program. You're paying for it after all. So what is the right way to buy a franchise? Well, franchises are more than just food. When most people hear the word franchise, their minds immediately zip to McDonald's, Starbucks, or any of the other multi-billion dollar restaurant franchises. Fast food chains are the industry's best performing sector, but only account for about 33% of national franchising revenue. That leaves 67% of the franchising money on the table. So how do you get in? Eric shared his formula for spotting viable franchises, one that's netted him a lot of zeros over the past 20 years, and it really only boils down to one thing. Target emerging brands. But why not established brands, Cody? The answer is quite simple. Emerging brands are typically more entrepreneurial minded. A brand with 20 or fewer locations will be more motivated to grow than one that's already opened over 100 stores. Plus, franchisers tend to go above and beyond for their early franchisees. Whether it's with systems, support, or training, day one franchisees usually get the whole nine yards. This is because if brands' early locations don't succeed, there can be no expansion after that. It's also important to remember that it's next to impossible to buy into a franchise that already has brand recognition. Big name franchisers like Orange Theory are buying out other franchisees in a bid to keep their circle small. A good rule of thumb is if the brand's already popular enough to pull 350,000 plus followers on Instagram, there's a good chance that you can't get in as a first timer. What else can you do? Study the founders. That said, you also want to examine the franchisee's founders. For Eric, a franchise is only as good as its founders. You'll want to keep an eye out for someone among the executives that's recorded some level of success in the industry. And what else can you do? The most important part, talk to other franchisees. When you're in the talking stages, franchisors usually give you the contact details of all of their franchisees. Call each and every one of them. Don't settle for the top performing franchisees alone. They'll most likely always have good things to say. Instead, reach out to every franchisee you can find. When you do, don't just ask fluffy questions. Cut to the chase. Run numbers with them. Find their pain points. If there's overall profitability among franchisees, there's a good chance you'll be profitable too. If not, that's a red flag. Alternatively, if you're pressed for time, just ask the owners. What about royalty fees? When it comes to royalties, franchisors can go either of two ways, flat or percentage-based fees, which begs the question, which is better? When asked about flat royalty fees, Eric's response was painfully honest. Flat royalty fees don't incentivize franchisors to help their franchisees succeed. Whether you win or lose, they get their paycheck at the end of the fiscal year. On the other hand, with percentage-based royalties, the brand's performance is closely connected to yours, and that usually motivates them to give you all the tools you need to cash flow quickly. That said, royalty fees will vary from brand to van. One of the other people we talked to, let's call him Wolf, pointed out the standard range spans from 6 to 8% of franchisee revenue. It's also not uncommon to find national brands whose business models require you to pay 6% royalty, 3% to a national brand fund that will be used for all franchisees, and 3% to miscellaneous fees, which usually go to marketing. Regardless, you'll find franchisers that charge as much as 10 to 15% in royalties. Let's break it down a little bit more. So if you think this sounds like your calling, cool. What do you do first? Well, number one, research. That's a no-brainer, right? Research is key to figuring out what franchises are expanding in your area and what industries do well combined with your skill set or interest. Number two, review the franchise FDD. The Franchise Disclosure Document, or FDD, differs from every franchise. This is a document that breaks down the financials of the business as well as gives you a demographic look into other franchises of this brand that are doing well. Number 3, figure out your financing. Financing franchises can be a bit of a catch-22. You see, banks have a hard time backing first-time franchisees for established brands because they don't know your level of experience. On the other hand, banks have a hard time backing emerging brands because there's little data to back their performance. More time than not, you'll often have to foot the bill here or get other people's money. Hey, franchising is not for everybody. When it comes to franchising, initial costs tend to be on the high side. It's not uncommon to see franchisees spend up to 3 times what they would if they were starting their own business. There are also operational costs that can quickly snowball into a lot of zeros depending on the industry. Strict regulations are another downside to the franchising industry. Whether it's with big picture stuff like locations or creative decisions like marketing, franchisees aren't allowed to call the shots. If coloring inside the lines and playing by someone else's rules doesn't sound like you, then I'd skip this one. And of course, there's also the risk of failure. Statistically, franchises close up shop as often as indie business owners. Plus, there's always a chance your franchisor goes belly up. I may play in this space, but y'all have my permission to publicly flog me if I start investing in fast food franchises. Last thing we need more of in the world, eh? Question everything and steal another's playbook. Till next time, Cody.